You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone pastors the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hope of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks. Great to have you along with us once again. We are having a great time bringing these podcasts to you. I hope you're having a great time receiving them. We're trying to mix it up a little bit. We're trying to deal with some pastoral things. We're trying to deal with some issues. And we've been on this issue of drinking, and we'll conclude this issue on this podcast. But we've been talking about drinking. Brother Wolven, I want to ask you today, what's one good thing that comes from drinking alcohol?
I can't think of one single thing other than if somebody's near death, you can help maybe perhaps ease some suffering. Yeah. But I cannot think of one single good thing that comes from drinking alcohol.
Even Jesus turned that away on the cross. They wanted to give him the myrrh mixed with strong drink to help deaden the pain. He turned it away. Wouldn't drink it then. Imagine if there was a time that you would drink something alcoholic, that would be the time. Jesus
yes.
turns it away. I made that statement one time in a meeting, and I said that I don't know one good thing that comes from alcohol. And I had a man email me, and you know, basically the subject line was, you said something about drinking. I thought, oh boy, here we go. The guy wrote me one of the nicest letters. He said, Pastor, he said, I've been drinking for a number of years. He said, I took offense at what you said at first. He said, and then I went home and I began thinking about it. And he said, you are absolutely right. He said, I took my last drink tonight. I'll never touch
Amen.
It again. He said, what you said is absolutely true. I have heard from so many people who have wanted to be involved in drinking, and they say this, I can control it. I can control it. I think that's what every drunk has ever said. I think that's what every marijuana addict or drug addict has ever said. I can control it. You can't control forever the lust of the flesh. And that's what we're really talking about, the lust of the flesh. And
yeah, it really is.
If anybody knows about flesh, it's you.
Well, Galatians 5 talks about the works of the flesh are manifest and goes on lists many things. And one of the things that it does list right after murders is drunkenness. And then it lists, of course, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And then the very next verse says, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If I understand that right, the affections are things in our mind that we say, I would really like this. And the lusts are the things that our body craves. And I believe that this deal with social drinking, drinking alcohol, it is one of those two things all the time. Either by the mind, wow, I can't wait till I can get home and sit back and relax and get just a slight tinge off of my day
right.
with a glass of wine or a couple of cans of beer, or it's that lust of the flesh. I just want it. The Bible says we should be crucifying those things.
You know why I think most people drink alcohol that are Christians? Because they've been told they can't. I think a lot of young people, especially, hear from the preacher, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And they get to a place in their life where they think, well, why not? I want to see for myself. And that opens the door. I think as preachers, we need to be careful how we present, you know, abstinence from sin. I think we need to be very clear on why we say no, and that may be a problem. I know in my childhood, if the preacher said it, we just didn't do it. We just took the word of the preacher. That is not our society today. Kids today want to know an answer, and I don't think there's anything wrong in giving it to them. Let's take them to the homeless shelter and ask those people, how did it start? It all starts the same way. One drink. One drink got somebody to become a drunk. And now it might not you. You might have had hundreds of drinks and not been drunk to that extent. But I'm sure there's been a degree of drunkenness because, as we've said, a very small amount of alcohol impacts the body. Even one drink dulls the senses. And that's why people drink it, so they can dull the senses, as you've said. Sit at home and relax. Why as a Christian do I need to have alcohol to relax? haven't we got the Word of God? Haven't we got the Holy Spirit? Haven't we got Christian music that we can listen to that will help us to unwind from a hard day without having to go to something that for years has been considered worldly? Where do you think that changed? Where did that idea of drinking not becoming, you know, the social stigma that it used to be, where did that change, do you think?
It's pure speculation.
Right.
But I would have to say whenever we started breaking down doctrine in the early to mid-late 1800s, once doctrine starts to go by the wayside, of course, there's a lot in the Scripture talking about the doctrine according to godliness. Whenever we begin to set doctrine aside as unimportant or less important, how can you say one part of the Bible is less important than another part of the Bible? So whenever you start setting doctrine aside and saying, well, these are the major doctrines and these are minor doctrines. So something Jesus taught on the Mount of Beatitudes is minor. I just don't understand that. So when we started doing that, and we started watering down the word, we started allowing all kinds of more worldliness into the church, and it's still flooding in.
Yeah. My son-in-law works for a Christian, I use that term, Christian family, and that Christian family involved in a lot of the things of their church. A few weeks ago, the boss brought a case of beer onto the job site and offered one to all the guys there. And my son-in-law said, no, I don't drink. I'm a Christian. They said, well, we're Christians too. Come on, man. Just come on. Drink with us. There's always that pull. People always want people to enjoy that with them. They can't do it without someone else being involved in it. And boy, they put a pressure on.
Yeah, their conscience is bothering them.
Yes,
their conscience bothers them whenever somebody says, no, I want to live for God.
Exactly. And by the grace of God, he's taken a stand and, you know, just told them, I'm not going to do that stuff. You know, what's sad is my son-in-law keeps working while they sit and drink their beer. And I said, well, how come you don't get, you know, breaks like that while I'm not drinking with them? So yeah. What a sad thing that is. And adding nothing. And to me, these guys are working in construction. And when you're working around heavy equipment and you're, you know, got other guys' lives depending on your stability, How foolish to bring that stuff into their lives. And what a great testimony they could have been as a whole work crew to say, you know what, we are Christians. And he's commented on that in past that people said, boy, you guys are different. You don't swear and you know, the music's different. And here it goes. This is going to open a door to some other things, I'm sure. So
yeah.
I feel bad. But, you know, our people and our churches are being faced with that every day.
Well, Pastor Stone, I know that you and I have similar backgrounds, that neither one of us has ever taken a drink of alcohol. And so the great argument I hear all the time is, it's a sin to be drunk, but it's not a sin to drink. I think that we've addressed much of that already in these three podcasts. But have you ever considered this? Let's say somebody is telling me, and I've never had a drop of alcohol at all, and they're telling me, hey, listen, it's only a sin if you get drunk. Here, drink this. It's not a sin. And is it possible for me to get slightly drunk on one glass of wine or one bottle of beer because I've never had anything at all? And so just by that very nature, how do you know that you're not encouraging? If you take your own philosophy, how do you know that you're not condemning somebody to sin with one drink?
Right, absolutely. And why would you put a pressure on somebody that doesn't to do it? Why can't you just say, oh man, that's great, you don't do it. I've chosen to do it. I'm alone here. And would you be a good enough friend to say, I'm going to set it aside because you don't? I'm going to respect that in you. No, I'm going to drink it and I'm going to force you, or I'm going to entice you, or I'm going to invite you to drink it along with me. And here's what they say too. Well, how come you preachers don't preach on gluttony? There are a lot of people that are overweight and there are a lot of people that don't control their weight. How come you don't preach on gluttony? And of course, we know that gluttony is not just being overweight. Gluttony is eating yourself sick, vomiting and eating again. It's just it's an overindulgence in those things. Do we eat too much sometimes? Yeah. Do we need to take care of our bodies? Absolutely. Do I preach that we need to do that? Yes. Am I endeavoring to do that? Yes. But eating too much is not going to kill somebody on a highway. It's not going to bring an abusive situation to my family. There's such a difference there, and they're grasping at straws with that one. But that is an argument that they do use. Let me ask you this.
That's right.
Let me ask you this. As a preacher today, how much more time are you spending on this topic today than you have in the past, do you think?
I've been spending more time on it. I probably preach about one or two messages on drinking or alcohol or drugs, something like that, a year. But I probably mention it about 20 times, and it seems like beginning of summer, the Christmas time, you know, football season, you know, those kind of times that may be given a little bit more to the popularity of having alcohol and going places where it may be a little bit more readily available, just to try to help in those areas. But I think it needs to be repeated because it's a consistent problem. Whenever you think of all that the Bible has to say about things that go along with alcohol, the negative things, idolatry, immorality, goes along with drunkenness. Think of what David tried to do with Uriah to get him drunk so he'd go home and be with his wife and David could cover up his sin. Through the scriptures, whenever it talks about in Proverbs about you're going to be sick, you're going to be, you know, redness of the eyes, you're going to not know that you were beaten because your senses have been dulled, just on and on, all of those things. There is nothing in the Bible ever positive about alcohol.
Absolutely. Have you ever had anybody leave the church because of your stance on alcohol?
Yeah, I have. One, because I even mentioned at the last verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 8, I said, now listen, brother, then the Bible says that if there is someone in this church, because of your position, that you don't think it's wrong to social drink, and they are offended by it, what is your response to that? And he said, oh, I don't care. You know, so, I mean, it isn't exactly like that was promoting him to obey the scripture, because if meat would make my brother offend, I should eat no meat as long as the world standeth. So I have that. And of course, many times pastors, they may have their own position, but if there's going to be alcohol at the reception or dancing at the reception, I won't do the wedding, I won't marry them, and I won't allow our buildings to be used. And so, you know, it's amazing to see young people that have grown up 10, 12, you know, 9 years in church, and they get mad over that fact and wind up leaving the church, and the family leaves the church. I can't believe you're so hard-hearted, and it makes me wonder, have you ever listened to anything I've preached?
Yes, yes. And that's another topic for another day, is dancing today. Dancing is a huge want by a lot of Christians today. Why can't we have that daddy-daughter dance? Why can't we dance? What's wrong with dancing? Oh, I just don't get it. I don't know. Maybe I was just very naive growing up or something. But when the man of God said you shouldn't do it, I just took him at his word and said, you don't do it. Of course, he showed us from the scriptures, you don't take his word, but made very clear that, you know, those things aren't good for you. And I thought, well, I want to be a good Christian, so I'm going to set those things aside. And growing up in high school, growing up in the 70s, you know, drugs and alcohol were pretty predominant, and I was able with a few other Christian kids in our school to stand against that. And I had a number of my friends come to me and say, I wish I could be like you. I wish I had never started. I had one friend who was an alcoholic at 16. He said, oh, man, my life's ruined already, and you're the better man for it. So those kind of things encourage. And maybe let me do this. Let me encourage Christians to be vocal with their friends and family and say, hey, we don't drink, and this is why we don't drink, and we don't need that, and take a stand and quit cowarding and just giving in. I think that would help the cause a great deal if it's not just the preacher, but if it's the people in the pulpit as well.
Yes, I was doing some research, Focus on the Family. Their website says that this is one of those gray areas of Christian life and conduct. Then Christianity Today on their website gave some comments pretty much the same way. We've got to be careful that we're not pharisaical in doing this. I read where a pastor who was promoting social drinking saying that we've got to be very careful about getting our message of the gospel out, that this could affect the gospel. And I thought, where in the world did that come from? The drinking with the gospel. And it seems to be that you can go ahead and say immorality is right in some situations and homosexuality is right in some situations and drinking is right in some situations. But the worst thing you could ever be is, oh, you've been pharisaical in the way that you said something. Goodness, just stand up for God. And if your heart is right with the Lord, those that that may complain, they may say anything about you, but they said the same things about our Lord as well. God knows the truth. Stand up for him and stand up for right.
The thing they say, too, is in moderation. Everything in moderation. No, not everything in moderation.
Yes.
Pornography in moderation?
Right.
Abuse in moderation?
Right.
You know, no. Well, I'll tell you what, we do have to be in moderation because our time has flown by again. And maybe we'll address this again at another time. But preachers today, preach the word. Preach, take
Amen.
A stand. Be what
Amen.
You need to be. You may not have the largest congregation in your city, but I'll tell you what, you'll have one that someday will appreciate very much that you took a stand and that you kept them from falling into the vat, as it were, of sin that this can bring up in your life. My grandfather died an alcoholic. I am so sad that he started with one drink. I've never had that drink. I praise the Lord. It's his strength, not mine. And I want to tell you, you can do it. This is Pastor Al Stone, and this is Tim Talks.
And this is Pastor Dan Wolven. Let me encourage every young pastor out there not to just throw away all of the positions from the older pastors just because it may seem like it's something older. You better examine it because many of those positions, they were based in Scripture, although they may not have been communicated as well as they could have been. Make sure that we're grounded in the Word.
Amen.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.